This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
The Michael K. Show.
I think we know what they are. We know that they're a very good team, and the only complaint we have about them is that they're not healthy. I don't think anybody has any problems with Tibbs. You have certainly no problem with any of the personnel they have. I think you got to be happy with everybody. The only issue with this team is that they're banged up. They didn't do this to themselves. None of this was self-inflicted. Can they beat the Cavaliers, the Magic? Can they beat whatever the teams that they might face in the first round? But yeah, I think they've had the Cavs number. I think they can beat the Magic. But once you get to the second round, can you play like that, expect to win a best-of-seven series against the Bucks? That's heavy lifting. Even with OG, that's still pretty heavy lifting.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
I'd go as far as calling it a heck of a first hour. How about you?
Tremendous.
What do you say, Sideburns? I felt great about it. I mean, I enjoyed it. Richard's call, different, but
it got conversation.
Multiple wild pitches now by the Yankees, and they are down 3-0. Yep. Can't seem to find their way out of the ninth.
And they are right now an out away from losing. Anthony Rizzo, 2 outs, nobody on, down 3-0. So get ready for the phone calls, because this would be 2 out of 3, Peter.
Uh-oh.
Now, Anthony Pusick, who now all of a sudden is converted to Yankee apologist, he went from the there, it's over, says this is the first game they're playing in the cold, and there might be something to that, as Rizzo hits it off the wall but only settles for a single.
Oh, don't you hate
that? Keep the Yankees alive.
What the F?
It's one game.
You know what?
Obviously they can come back and they can still win this game. You never know. But the point is that it's a bummer, right? Because there was just so much excitement. The building's full. Social media was just blowing up about everything. It'll be a disappointment if they get blanked at home to drop to 6-2. But we'll see.
I texted Boone, by the way. He didn't seem to understand the Torrey thing.
What is that? Why are we the only people?
I guess we are. He he said he's done that many times before, so like he didn't see it.
At the very least, it means he wasn't going for it then.
Yes, that's right, Anthony. Good call.
At the very least. Not but going for Torrey.
It wasn't intended. It wasn't like you and I thought, Don, some sort of tribute.
But from what little I know about Boone, other than our interactions on the air and then the couple of times I've met him off the air, I think he's that guy. Like, I could see him doing it and not owning up to it. Like, what are you talking about? But knowing that's what he was going for. Because clearly he was wearing his hat differently, and wearing his hat exactly the way Joe Torre, a former Yankee manager, wore it? Come on. But it's money him not admitting it.
That would be interesting, right?
Because there's more to Boone than just baseball. I'm telling you. There's a lot there.
You're sensing a depth, there's a certain level of,
yeah,
of deep to Boone.
We got a Volpe hit, so now things are coming. The tying run's coming to the plate. Can you just imagine the magic on opening day? Down 3-0, 2 outs, nobody on.
Don,
and a rally for the ages.
How
but
much
if nothing else, keeps Michael off the air.
Don't you hate? I hate the feeling of like you're down 3-0, and down to 1 out, and then you get the back to back hits. I never feel like it can work out. I just always feel like it's with two. Oh, is that it?
Verdugo to the wall. It's caught. Game over.
See, that's what I hate. Don't even give me the two hits. I don't even want the two hits with two outs. Don't even bother. Let's just go home.
I exaggerate. It was to the edge of the warning track, but it was deep. So that
I had a hunch when Anthony started playing or when Joe started playing the rainout music that it meant our sunny days were over there. So that's it. Yankees have now lost 2-3. I will say, another rough day from the judger. Another 0-for day. Not what you want.
Yeah, this was just not a good day.
Soto 0-for-4. His average much way down to reality at 303. Judge sitting at 167. Verdugo got a hit, so there's that. Volpe got a hit.
It's Stanton's just a mess right now. Struck out two more times. I think Anthony, what is that, like 14 strikeouts and like 25 at-bats? Something ridiculous.
He
like
has
that.
Struck out more. He struck out in more than half of his at-bats this season, yes.
So one through four had one hit. Torres went 1-for-4. Soto 0-for-4. Judge 0-for-2 with two walks. Stanton 0-for-4. Rizzo 1-for-4. Volpe had a couple of hits. Verdugo had a hit. Birdie had a hit. Trevino 0-for-3. So six hits. Volpe, the only multiple producer of hits, and he had that one hit in the ninth. They haven't really gotten going offensively, really, at all. I mean, even if you think about the Houston series, they had when the comeback on opening day basically was a hit by pitch with the bases loaded, a walk with the bases loaded. They got a run in Arizona on a balk. You know, they haven't hit a ton of home runs. I mean, they've had their moments, but, you know, to be 6-2 with an offense that still has not popped yet, and it's got to make you feel good. But listen, it's opening day, and hope springs eternal, and it just and you lose to the Blue Jays, a divisional team. So that kind of stinks, but, you know, it's still so damn early in the season. But the Yankees haven't ran away with this 6-2 start, Peter. They're only a half game up on Boston, and the Blue Jays now 4-4 after starting all their games on the road. So we got a long season, so let's not freak out. But why do I have a feeling that when Michael comes on, we're going to roll out the K-couch, and we're going to close out the show with people complaining about the bullpen, complaining about the lack of hitting situationally.
He stinks!
So we better get the Mets in now, because once Michael comes in, forget
it. All right, so talk to me, Don. You got a win yesterday. You got a split.
I'm going to tell you, that was a nice win. All right, and I know nobody's going to celebrate it because it's their only win. But think of the symmetry of this, okay? They're 0-5 to start the season after the loss in Game 1 of the doubleheader. The last time they went 0 for their first five was the beginning of the 0-5 season. That year was Willie Randolph's first year as manager. And this is Mendoza's first year as Met manager. In that sixth game in 0-5, they're down 1-0 in the eighth. John Smoltz has like 15 strikeouts. Carlos Beltran hits a two-run home run. Mets eventually win the game, get Willie Randolph's first win. Mets ended up finishing four games above 500 that year with 83 wins. If they do that this year, I think they're going to be in the hunt for a wild card spot. So this year, they're getting no hit through eight. All right, that gets broken up. But they're going into the ninth inning down 1-0, and then Alonso hits a home run. And then the Mets piece together a nice Marte has a sacrifice bunt to send Beatty to second. They get the big walk-off hit by Taylor, and they win the game. So it's again, 1-0, late win. And instead of the 15 strikeouts, they're getting no hit through 7 2/3, whatever it was. And they ended up rattling off six straight wins in 0-5 and stabilize things. And let's see what this Met team can do. They go to Cincinnati, and maybe they'll be able to salvage it. But that's not nothing, Peter. I know it's only one win, and they can turn around and get swept by Cincinnati, and it won't matter. But at least the door kind of opened. Because when we left the convention center and I got to my car to go home and turned on the radio, I'm thinking this team's about to get no hit. And I got in the car in time for Alonso's home run, and then they pull a win out. But you heard the cut. Let's play it again. This is before the Alonso home run. This is the voice of the New York Mets on television. Gary Cohen has been there since 1988. Had to say about where the Mets were when they were getting no hit, down 1-0 in game 6 of the season.
Nobody in the ballpark, 1-5, hitless through 7. Feels like rock bottom.
Now, this is coming off of his viral video, Peter, in which he had to do a stand-up during that ridiculous situation back on Tuesday when they didn't rain the game out right away. And then he had to, you know, announce that the game was rained out, and everybody knew there wasn't going to be a game. And then I guess the camera continued to roll after he put his microphone down and rolled his eyes. I'm sure you saw that. So it's been a tough couple of days for Gary. Now, there's a couple of different ways to look at it. Hey, he's just being honest. But that's a tough thing to do, to be about the team you're announcing for. You're five games into the season. And it felt like the announcer of your team is kind of giving up. So good for him. I mean, he was being honest, but, you know, I'm sure SNY and the Mets were not happy with him. I'm sure he got a phone call that night, last night.
It was odd. It was a bit odd. Rock bottom feels strong. I mean, let's not end the season.
Well, he said feels like rock bottom, but listen, it did. But it's no matter how you slice it, Peter, it's game six of the season. Now they come back and win. Now we'll see where it goes. But, you know, the building's empty, not because people don't care. The building's empty because it was an unscheduled doubleheader in which it was supposed to be an off day. All right, the team went 13 consecutive innings without a hit. That's a franchise record. Even the 62 Mets didn't have that happen to them. But it's still game five.
Any chance yesterday can get them started a little bit?
Well, that's the hope, but it's
got
to.
It was that kind of win, and you saw how they celebrated it.
Because they're done. I mean, there's nobody that felt like, Peter, they were winning that game, and now you're staring 0-6 in the face. You're staring at the possibility of getting no hit in the sixth game of the season. I mean, it's ridiculous. But they got off the mat, they got the win, and let's see what they do with it. Again, that's baseball. The very next day, you got to go out there. You don't get to have any fun with it. They hopped on a plane, flew to Cincinnati, and now they're going to have to play a game tonight at 6:40 to see if they can't make it two in a row. But I just thought that there was symmetry there with 05, where that kind of saved their season, and they ended up having a really good, you know, 83-79 season. Not that it's great, but it was a good first year for Willie, and then they ended up winning the division the next year. So it kind of just shows you that it can turn around quickly, and maybe the way it went for Willie will go for Mendoza this year. And I think if they can win 83 games, that means you're going to have a meaningful September and you may be in a hunt for the last wild card spot. So at least there's something within, you know, recent memory to tell you that they can still turn this thing around.
Trevor in Jamaica has a rebuttal to Ken's haiku.
Okay.
Trevor.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? So my haiku is, Connecticut 10th, jam it up where sun don't shine. Not today, brother. I got two more, but that's up to you guys if you want to hear it.
I don't think we need more than one. I thought that was solid.
I felt it more, Trevor. You know, maybe it was the jam it up.
Yeah, jam it up is always a great way to start.
Yeah, maybe it was that part.
Some may say a great way to finish.
Let's go to Knox. Excuse me? Let's go to Nas in Queens.
Hey, what's up, guys? I have three questions for you. First, the Knicks could have potentially four first-round picks and two second-round picks. Should they use one of those picks on Bronny James to attract LeBron James potentially for a run next year? My second question is for Pete. What did you think about the J. Cole response to Kendrick Lamar on his album, the 7-Minute Joe song?
Yeah.
And the third question, do you guys think that Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark could be like the Magic Johnson and Larry Bird rivalry that could really help catapult the WNBA to the next level?
I mean, I've said that a few times this week that I think it could be that. Listen, who knows, right? But we have this. What I love about it is you have these players who are now really connected to each other and have a history that starts in college. That obviously just takes you back. We'll see. We know that Caitlin Clark will be in Indiana. I guess it depends on where Angel Reese goes, and it depends on what their teams are like. It depends how they play when they see each other.
They got to end up in the right spot, and they got to play well. And there's a lot of building here, because even though you can say that Magic and Bird kind of put the NBA back on the map, that suggests that the NBA was going through some tough times. They just needed to get back on track. I mean, they had a major cocaine problem. There was a lack of there was a real disinterest there. I think their games, their championships are still on tape delay. They were a mess at that point. Now, you're almost starting from scratch with the WNBA. I understand it's been around since 1997, but it hasn't really, at least in the major markets, really gained the traction the NBA had pre-Bird and Magic. But can it elevate it? Yeah, it's definitely going to elevate it, Peter. But will it elevate it to the point where it's going to become a major television attraction, that it's going to, that these players are going to get paid lots of money? Like, is it going to enter, you know, even to the NHL standard? I think you could you get to the MLS? Yes. Can it surpass MLS, NHL? Probably not. But to say that it won't get a bump, won't get helped, well, you just haven't been paying attention to what's going on. But I wouldn't expect 12 million people to watch Caitlin Clark play in a WNBA final. If you're expecting that, I think that's a little too much.
But it's all about what your standard is and what your expectations and hopes are. And I think they – I'll say this, though, and we talked about this a lot this week. I think it does have an opportunity to go to a different place than it's been previously.
Well, what you ask? Here's what you ask for. If let's say she becomes a Liberty, she becomes
a
member of the New York Liberty.
Liberty. Do you say a Liberty?
How do you say it?
That's a member name. Of the.
A member of the. Well, this is what happens when you don't pluralize your name.
I know it's hard.
But all right, so she joins the Liberty. Can the Liberty get the attention on this show that, you know, the other, like, yeah, maybe could they get talked about like the Islanders and the Devils and the Nets? Yeah. But I don't know if we're talking about them like we're talking about the Yankees and the Giants and the Jets and the Knicks or the Rangers in a big spot. But could their games make our radar? If they're making a playoff run, could it become an open? With her, yes, I think it can. But would it attract attention if she's playing for the Indiana Fever in New York? Probably not.
Although I heard that the Fever game at Barclays Center against the Liberty next year already sold out, which is pretty wild. It is pretty cool to hear that. Let's go to JJ in North Carolina. Been on hold for a while. Hey, JJ.
Hi, JJ.
John, Peter, John Soto.
Go ahead.
0 for 4 with 2 strikeouts. Are you kidding me? Get this guy off the team. Unbelievable.
Oh yeah, we're gonna get enough of it. Okay, JJ.
First, respect to Don and Anthony. They do a great, great. I don't think it gets enough credit on game misconduct. Anthony one day is gonna have his own hockey show, and he's gonna call it The Pusick, and just have and might even surpass that RJ Santillo. How much you want to bet?
I love it. I'm rooting for it.
Peter, I want to ask you a WrestleMania question, but I don't know if you guys remember this drop a while ago with Drop Madness coming into fruition. I think an underrated Don drop was when I forget how long ago it was, but there was a caller getting him really angry, and for whatever reason, he didn't have the power or the capability to disconnect him himself. So he just, like, he starts screaming, like, disconnect the guy! Like,
oh, we loved it. I love disconnect the guy. You kidding me?
That was a hilarious moment, the way his Jersey accent and everything comes out. Peter, for the first night of WrestleMania, I've always kind of been wondering, who do you think is going to take the pin for that tag match? It seems like, because, you know, you don't want to give Roman, who's the champion, the pin, because that'll make him look bad, and definitely not Rock, and definitely not Rollins, you wouldn't think, we're going into his match. So is it going to be like Cody and then kind of have that underdog mentality again, and hopefully he wins Sunday? I mean, it's kind of baffling that decision. It's hard to tell.
There's so many ways to go with that. Because it
Love
could
you
be
guys.
Cool
Take it easy. Have Thanks, a good weekend.
Disconnect the guy!
Yeah, good point. I think it could be interesting. Roman could pin Cody on Saturday, and that would be fascinating. So could Rock, and then Cody could win. But who knows? I could also see Rock pinning Seth. So there's so many ways you can do it. I do not remember the last time that I was this excited for the main event of both nights. It's going to be crazy. By the way, if you are a WWE fan, of course, the weekend's kicking off tonight with SmackDown and the Hall of Fame, and I will be hosting the Hall of Fame countdown. So when SmackDown goes off the air at 10, you turn on Peacock to go to the Hall of Fame. I'll be hosting while they're setting up for the Hall of Fame for that 20 minutes, half hour to get you ready for a big Hall of Fame, which, by the way, the final boss will be on because The Rock is inducting his grandmother into the WWE Hall of Fame tonight.
Is that who that was? I was looking at They had a nice little display there yesterday, and I did not know who everybody was. Now you've connected the dots for me. Thank you.
Yes, the older lady who was on it, Leah Maivia, that is that is Rock's grandma, who was a wrestling promoter in Hawaii.
Cool.
Legend in her own right. Let's go to Chris in Monmouth.
Don and Peter, thank you for taking the call, and happy Friday.
You too, buddy.
You too, man.
Listen, we've had some good conversations over the years, and here's what I need to let you guys know. I'm a Knicks fan from way back, 47 in about a week and a half. So the Go New York song that you hear today is not the original Go New York, Go New York, Go.
Really?
No, it's not. It's the same song, but to Peter, to your point, I called about a Knicks point, but you guys were talking about this, it wasn't the cartoonish song it was today. It was more, almost like more movie-like intro than, it's almost when they introduced the song, they added the lyrics and a song to that song. Probably, I would want to say, probably in the 2000s at some point. The original song doesn't have that melody and lyrics. It's more of the go New York, go New York, go, and then introducing the players. It didn't have that song. It's not the original. Mm.
Interesting. We're going to dig into this.
It's not the original. And Peter, to your point, you're absolutely right. I would rather play a talented Indiana Pacers team than the Miami Heat any day of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Miami Heat are just one of those teams. Like, if, I don't know if you're a hockey fan, you get the same feeling from the Lightning. They've got a pedigree. They've got an outstanding coach. I would put John Cooper and Spoelstra is almost identical as far as like how meaningful they are to their respective teams. There's always that team, Peter, right? No matter what the era, like, all right, the record may tell you one thing, but your mind and your heart tell you different stuff, and you just want to stay away from the Heat.
I'm good. I'm just good.
Yeah, no, I am very good. I mean, listen, I think the NBA would love a matchup like that, but from a Knick perspective, we're good.
All right, let me take a quick question here from Greg that I'll never get in once Michael's here. Greg, what do you got?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Good, buddy.
Good. Real quick before my question, I have another classic drop we need to dig up, especially now since Gary Cohen's been in the news like crazy. The Gary Cohen has the runs, Michael comment that he made.
Oh, wow. I forgot about that.
Yeah, he's been all over the news. Every time you brought him up, you used to say that. Now it would be playing 24/7. So we got to get that out, dust it off.
Can you find it there, Joe?
My question real quick for Peter, WrestleMania coming up, Mount Rushmore of wrestlers. I wanted to get yours. For me, real quick, 1A and 1B are Hogan and Stone Cold Steve Austin. Then you got to put The Rock in there. But the fourth, it gets a little iffy with who you're going to put in. So
I have a vote.
You go Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, John Cena, someone
Wait,
else.
You said your first two are, it's Hogan, Austin?
And then The Rock would be third. But then the fourth, who do you put in?
I would put The Undertaker in. Not that I have a vote, but I would just throw in The Undertaker. That would be me.
I mean, also, you skipped over. Thanks for the call, Greg.
Gary Cohen has the runs.
You didn't mention Bret Hart. You skip past the Nature Boy Ric Flair. So these things are very.
Well, listen, I'm only going by the fact that I know who he is. Michael went to go see him at the Orlando one, and it right now I think it's Marco's favorite wrestler. He was disappointed I didn't come home with anything related to The Undertaker from our excursion yesterday.
And I'm sure they had stuff in the store. They had to. Well, you know what, guys? Say goodbye to Busted Brackets because FanDuel lets you bet on every game of the tournament, whether you're betting on a big upset or a one seed. All right? It's time to go dancing on America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. I'm probably just going to lean in with UConn. Why not? To win it all. Again, that's $200 to use on point spreads, money lines. You can even pick who will win the entire thing. Just visit FanDuel.com/Peter and bet on college hoops until they cut down the nets. 21 and over and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 877-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
That's unbelievable. You know, I'm doing the Yankee game. Yankees lose 3-0, and it's completely forgotten. I mean, drop madness has never been more important, and the matchups are forgotten. Anthony, now that I'm here, please do what you should have been doing before.
Well, all right. Thank you, Michael. Peter, do you want to do it? Should I do it? How do you want to handle
this? No. Listen, you take us home here, Michael. The truth is, we really just wanted to wait for you. We're so glad you're here.
Well, really,
it is the Final Four, and it is Don versus Don, the sixth seed in the Flub region.
Hit the post by the backhand. That one was.
It's
now
toughest.
Before you give the matchup.
Yes,
Don does not want that to win.
Oh no.
Which is Michael White has to win.
And it's up against its hardest opponent yet, the four seed in the Funny Region, one of a Don class.
Cut his fat ass!
Oh, such a tough matchup. That's UConn against Iowa.
Yeah, you know what, though? You know what's going to happen here. They have to vote for him yelling. Andy said fat ass. And it shouldn't be, because it's historic. But I'm worried about it.
And we have one more matchup, guys. We don't normally do this, and we never said it in the beginning, but I think this was the one seed of the entire tournament.
You know what?
Griffin in the Nether region, the one seed, has had no competition up to this point.
Uh-oh, though.
But it faces the three seed in the Troubling region, and it's a Don special.
Your face against the freaking television screen, and you can't remember who didn't bunt!
TMKS ESPN on Twitter.
It's the Final Four, guys, and Michael, you know what we're staring at. It's Don yelling versus Don yelling in the final.
Well, I don't know. I think Griffin could win.
Yeah, Griffin, I think, is...
I would like to see a Griffin matchup.
Yeah, I want you-know-what.
You-know-what.
Shot went...
Ooh. Hit the post by the backhand. That one was.
But if you really want substance, the cut his fat ass, that's one of the best rants that I've had in a long time. It was very meaningful. Because it came from the heart. It was a big deal with the Giants.
Don,
bad starts. If you're looking for substance.
What? This is sad to watch, Michael.
It really is. But I love him. You know, whatever. If he needs the politic against a cut, I'm all for it.
So that's a vote.
Anyway, vote early, vote often, and then we'll have the final on Monday. About 47,000 people, those that didn't take the train, well, they're probably in the car right now lamenting a 3-0 Yankee loss. So it's time for the Pinstripe Report, brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. A lot of pain for the Yankees. Sam. This is the first time that they were shut out in a home opener since, you ready for this, Peter?
Go ahead.
1967.
Wow.
And that was not a good time for the Yankees.
No, that was a bad team, and that was against the Red Sox. So that was not good.
Wow.
So they were shut out today by five different Blue Jay pitchers. Now, before anybody goes nuts, and we'll certainly entertain people going nuts, they're 6-2. But I will give everyone this. They're 6-2, despite things that haven't gone great. I mean, after being great in Houston, I believe that Juan Soto has won for his last 16. Other than the two hits they got in the last game in Arizona, Aaron Judge hasn't hit that well. Today he had two walks. He was 0 for 2. Giancarlo Stanton is 0 for 4, really struggling. Two more strikeouts, so he has 13 strikeouts and 24 at-bats. Anthony Rizzo did get a hit in the ninth inning with two outs, but he was 1 for 4. Gleyber Torres was 1 for 4. Anthony Volpe, again, got two hits. He kept the game alive. Verdugo was 1 for 3 and just missed a game-tying home run at the end. But the Yankees have some holes right now offensively. But that's one of the things I don't worry about, guys. I don't know if you feel that way. I mean, you know that Soto's going to hit. You know that Judge is going to hit. I mean, there's got to be some worries about Stanton. But remember, I said this at the beginning of the year. They can absorb Stanton either being hurt or not playing well. They can absorb it. Because all you do is put Grisham in center field and have Judge or Soto be the DH. It's absorbable. It's not like that's an irreplaceable part. And the fact that he has 13 strikeouts and 24 at-bats, that's a little concerning. And then you consider he's coming off a season where he hit 191. You got to be a little worried. Now, let's look at the positives from today. Soto was amazing. Not Soto. Stroman was amazing.
He was.
Hey, Don, he has 12 innings. He hasn't allowed an earned run.
He's terrific.
And, you know, it seems like he's up for the moment, that's for sure. And when he came out just to warm up, he's out in right field. A lot of people already in the stadium at that point. And he's just waving on the crowd to go nuts like a boxer. So I think he's built for this. He really is. If he stays healthy, he's going to be a good pitcher for the Yankees.
No, we thought it was a steal at the time, and there was probably nothing more overrated than all the histrionics before the deal with Cashman and his criticism of the Yankees. That's over. And we knew that it would be fine if he pitched well. And so far he has pitched well, so it's been silenced. I think the Yankees will be able to control anything he might be tempted to do if it does go off the rails at some point. But no, he's been a great find. Hey, we're 8 games in. I know we want to go dissect every game because we have no choice. The Yankees are popular, and we're on every day. It's disconcerting. It's disappointing to lose on opening day like that. There was a lot of hype around it. Probably more hype than I can remember, Michael, because of Soto. Combine that with the 6-1 start, I was really feeling today. And so you get shut out, and it's disappointing. But, you know, to be 6-2 with still a lot of things that can be better, I think you got to be thrilled.
1-800-919-3776. So if you're in the car heading away from the stadium, keep it right here. We'll break it down for you. Mets play tonight. Unfortunately, a lot of people in New York will not see it. It's on Apple TV+. First game of a 3-game set against Cincinnati. That's the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. For a pain-free life, visit samwellpain.com today. Let's go to Cody in New Jersey. Cody?
It's actually Stench from Amerenik, but that's all right.
There you go. Nice. We love Stench.
I've been waiting a long time to say that.
What's up?
anyway, yeah, I got a couple points on the Yankees. I'm going to try to be sane here and not go overboard. I'm excited, man. I'm excited about their new signings as far as Verdugo and Soto goes. Just the... even if they're not performing so much, it's just their energy that they bring that I think is, you know, like a breath of fresh air for the Yankees that they haven't had in a long time. Just seems like they know how to have fun and, you know, they like to have fun. And I think the Yankees haven't had that. They've been a little too business-like. So that's good to see.
Well, I mean, you can look at it that way, but, you know, energy and fun is only good if it's coming from people that are producing. And Juan Soto produced in Houston and has struggled since that point. I don't think there's any doubt that he'll produce. He's produced his whole career. And Stroman last year was an all-star. People forget that, and then he got hurt. So we know that he could pitch, and, you know, an incredible arsenal of six different pitches he threw today. Now, if you want me to give you a concern, Don and Peter, and all of our listeners, what happened this morning, that was concerning. Jonathan Loaisiga is such an important part of what they were planning to do in the bullpen. This guy can't stay healthy. And they said it was a significant flexor injury. So for them to immediately put him on the 60-day IL, they don't expect him back at least in 2 months, probably longer than that. You know, he pitched, I think, 17 games last year. This guy can't stay healthy, and he was going to play a big role in what, you know, Michael King was last year. You know, going to pitch him two innings at a time, you know, rest him for 3 days. He's going to give us those two innings leading into, you know, whoever the closer may be. Now, Nick Birdie's been good. Today he threw three wild pitches in the ninth inning, turned a 1-0 deficit into a 3-0 deficit. You replaced Loaiza, who's one of the best when he's healthy, with Dennis Santana, guy who didn't pitch that well for the Mets last year. Yankees loved him in spring training. But that's a big hit for the bullpen, everybody. That's a big hit. A gigantic hit. You don't lose Jonathan Loaiza and just replace him. Now, you hope that you get Tommy Canley back shortly. Then you're going to get Efros back at some point, and you're also going to get Trevino back at some point. But that's probably the middle of the season for those two, and now you've lost Jonathan Loaiza for a bit. That's a hit on the bullpen. I never get concerned with the Yankee bullpen, Don, because they always reconfigure something, and they get the arms, and they have guys in the bullpen in the minors that throw hard. But losing Loaiza stings. That's not a great loss.
No, it's awful. Now, Cashman, I think his specialty is building a bullpen, but you don't want to put yourself in this situation like that to lose that. You're losing a lot of innings.
A lot of innings and a lot of, like, high leverage innings, too. Let's go
right
to Shlomo.
And you don't go from, like, on the roster to, like, directly to the 60-day for nothing.
No, they're concerned if they put him on the 60 right away. Let's go to Shlomo. Doesn't say where he's from.
Hey, guys. Big fan of all three of you.
Thank you.
Hope you're doing well.
Yes.
I had a couple of questions regarding the Yankees and the Knicks. And one about the Yankees. I don't know. I just wanted to say that after today, you know, there are takeaways and there are things that are disappointing, concerned about, but nothing that I think throws the season away. You know, and I think it's a little annoying when fellow Yankee fans, the louder ones in social media, are the, you know, the ones that are looked at, you know, when they jump the gun on players that are, you know, have a good game or don't have a good game. So to me, that's just, you know, disappointing to see. But overall, you know, I think I'm excited to where the season heads. I'm interested, definitely, at least. And my second question with the Knicks was, one of the broadcasters last night said that if Thibodeau gives the guys fewer minutes, it means fewer wins, right? And I want to know what you think about that. Thank you.
You know, I think that one of the reasons the Knicks are so good is because, their guys play a lot of minutes and they play hard and they outwork the other team. And I think that's a pretty astute, you know, observation. I think you'd agree too, Peter. I think one of the reasons they're good is that the guys play 40 minutes a game and there's no load management. So, you know, the Clippers had a big game yesterday against the Nuggets. Kawhi Leonard didn't play. That doesn't happen on the Knicks. So if you did give load management to Jalen Brunson or Josh Hart, I don't think that you'd be the same team.
Yeah, no, that's what they have to do. That is literally what the bread and butter of this team is. This isn't the – Jalen Brunson's a hell of a player and super talented, but this isn't a team that's the most talented team in the league. They beat you because they outwork you. So for the Knicks to do what they could do, it requires a lot of effort.
But we talked about this earlier, Michael. Is their greatest strength their biggest detriment making a run?
That's a great point. Yeah, you know, like you're robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Paul, Peter?
Yeah, I don't know. I only know Peter.
And you don't want him to be robbed?
No, I don't want to be robbed.
No, why would you?
No, and I'm certainly if I find out that I'm robbed and then you're giving the money to Paul, I'm going to find Paul.
How's Philly today?
Philly's nice. Still a little on the chilly. Philly's still chilly.
Uh-huh. So it's Philadelphia. You said on the air, you don't even have to credit me.
You know, thank you very much. it's having a great time. Today was a little more relaxing, which was nice. Yesterday was busy. From here, I'll go straight over to my Hall of Fame duties that I got to do. But, yeah, I had a great time today. My buddy Ted had a big wrestling T-shirt pop-up. Went to the pop-up, met more people. Had the live podcast yesterday was a great success. It's been fun, man.
Can you tell Ted I said hi?
Oh, absolutely. Of course I will.
Good. Let's go to Sonny in Little Falls. Sonny.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing? Hope everyone's having a great Friday and not feeling affected by this earthquake. Real quick, two quick points. Besides the fact that you guys are doing an amazing job for the Mets, I think this is a great opportunity to build up some younger talent. We always seem to find pitchers who can pitch much better than expected. So I'm looking forward as a Mets fan to discover who's next. And Peter, I want to ask you a wrestling question because of WrestleMania. What do you think the effect of having higher definition, more clear TV has done to the product. I've been watching wrestling since I was maybe 10 years old, about 25 years ago. And obviously, not just being older, but I think the Clear TV makes it much more of a show than it was before. What do you think? Thanks for sharing, guys.
Absolutely.
Are you saying Clear TV?
Yeah, like having a, being able, yeah, like
Clear 4K? Means,
yeah, like the higher quality. You know, I think it certainly makes an impact and changes the way people have to do their job also. But, it's a different world. I mean, that's across the board, though. Everything is different because of that. We back in the day, guys, TV looked like what I was seeing without my glasses on.
Oh, just, well, you see, like, well, when I have DirecTV, so, like, when there's a storm, I end up losing HD and I got to go to standard. It's like I'm watching TV in 1974. Like, I never knew how bad it was until HD came in. And now you bring the 4K, it's a different world. Everything is improved.
And I understand what Peter's saying, too. I mean, there's such great clarity. I mean, you got to really sell it that you hit somebody.
Yeah,
you know, Channel 9 wrestling, you didn't have to really sell it that much.
Yeah, exactly. It just became a different art form. And I remember it's not that long ago. I mean, the first time wrestling was HD was like, whatever, 2008? Something like that?
I don't know if you went through this with hip-hop, but I just know in rock and roll and in metal, when they went to CDs, like compact discs, you noticed like little mistakes. Like, just going from that technology. Like, so everybody's got to up their game. Whenever you make it easier to hear, easier to see, then you're not going to be able to get away with some things. You've really got to up your game all around.
Now, if Peter's crossing Broad Street tonight in Philly or Chile, you want to make sure he doesn't get hit by a car, because then he's going to have to dodge the cars that are coming on Broad Street. So tell us about that, Peter.
That was such an interesting transition. It is Peter here for Security Dodge, Long Island Ram Wrangler headquarters. Come get some. If you're worried about inflation, Security Dodge is turning back the clock with this deal. Zero down, $199 a month. That's right. Inflation buster deal on a brand new 24 Dodge Hornet RT. $199 a month, 24 months zero down. Go see Michelle Scalisi during their Dodge Power Shot days and come get some.
Baseball season is now here, but you are still holding on to that winter weight. For over a decade, NJ Diet has helped thousands of people lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help keep the weight off. You're fully supervised the entire time to make sure you're burning fat, not just losing water. And you even get Dr. T's personal email and phone number. Locations across New York, New Jersey, Connecticut are available from home with live online video consultations. Call 855-5NJ-DIET and lose weight the natural way, quickly and safely. Call 855-5NJ-DIET or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. Get slimmer before the summer. And without any shots, go to njdiet.com. Empire Outlets on Staten Island is the place to be this spring season for your ultimate shop and dine experience. Empire Outlets is located steps from the Staten Island Ferry, easily accessible to all New York City and New Jersey residents. Shop outlets like Nike Factory, Levi's Outlet, Banana Republic Factory, Guess Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Gap Factory, Nordstrom, Rack, and more. Dine at restaurants including Shake Shack, Bake Culture, and Hazel's 423 Food Truck. Visit EmpireOutlets.nyc and follow on Instagram at Empire Outlets to learn more about what Empire Outlets is offering.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
That was a nice jacket they gave him for the first
That bit. Was nice, yes. Like, we had the guys from the pre- and post-game come into the booth, and, like, we never wear Yankee stuff. And if we do, we put Yankee, like, if it's really cold, they'll send us up a winter jacket or whatever. But we never shoot the booth if you're wearing Yankee jackets. It's just not what we do. And John Filippelli, we were going to come in the booth. He said, should Paul take off the jacket? I said, it's Paul O'Neill.
It's not like
me. If people don't know that Paul O'Neill is rooting for the Yankees and was a Yankee, I mean, then we've got some issues. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Did you see Paul's first pitch?
I didn't. I heard you talking about it and then you showed the jacket.
Listen, I know he's listening because he listens when he's in the car. It was not good.
All right, I got to see.
Oh, no. Why'd you? What, then,
wow.
It was Peter. I even told him on the air, it's like, it's not quite Baba Booey 50 Cent level, but it's close.
Wow.
He just kind of short-armed it. And I mean, let's say he did throw it from the top of the mound, which is 60 feet, 6 inches away.
Well, I mean,
but I think
him,
that the pitch traveled 40 feet.
Oh, no.
I liked Paul's logic, though.
What was the logic,
Ant? He always bounces the ball to Donnie Baseball. He was just making Don feel comfortable behind the plate.
He didn't like, I mean, he takes my kidding well, but I don't think he liked when I said, when you kick the ball from right field, there's a red, it was a better throw than that.
Oh, no.
So you're just doubling it from triple. You.
What was that, Donnie?
He doesn't want to hear it from you. Like,
right.
If he heard it from a former player. Whatever,
but I'm like his teammate. I've been a longer teammate than any baseball teammate ever
as
had.
As an announcer, I'm sure he would take your feedback announcing every day. But when it comes to playing ball... He didn't try. I mean, I'm looking at that. There was like,
what do you mean he didn't try? Why wouldn't you try?
If you want to complain about it, it was no effort. Come on. He barely wound up. Of course that's how far. Peter, did you see it? He put no legs into it whatsoever. He basically threw it from it like a standing formation.
Right, it was a goof. It was a goof. You know what it was, Michael? If you really want to get after Paul, his problem was he was being a little too cool.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he wanted to just toss it to Mattingly, but he got nothing underneath
it. He's not 50 Cent. He's not going to, you know, he's not. It's not Sierra throwing out the first pitch. This is a pro baseball. So he tried to act cool, and he ended up shorting it a bit. And also,
shorting it a bit.
Oh, by the way, I have another theory.
Tell me.
Hasn't he been in the gym an insane amount?
Yep. You think he's too muscle bound?
That's right. He's tight. The muscles are too big. He's tight.
Man, I got to tell you, if this doesn't prove we can't break down anything. I mean, honestly, that's more analysis than some actual plays during the game will be given.
I'll tell you one thing. I have never thrown out a first pitch of the game. I don't know what I would do. I'm not sure if I would do it on a fly. I'm not sure. I think I would definitely throw a lot before I went on the mound.
You got to warm up.
Yeah, because if you don't warm up, I mean, like Paul said, he hadn't thrown a baseball in like 4 years.
Well, you know what it is? It's the whole... Greg Buttle theory.
Tell us.
Like one time it was snowing in the parking lot before a Jet-Steeler game. This is probably like 03, I think. And whenever it was so much snow, we just had to go play football. Had to throw the football around. And this is Greg. So this is 20 years ago. So Greg was still like in his early 50s. Maybe might have been 50. And he would refuse to play. He's like, once I retired, I'm done. Because he doesn't want to go out there because he's going to be held to a different standard. And if he slips and falls or hurts himself, he doesn't need that.
So he wouldn't even toss the football around?
Wouldn't even do it. Would not do it. So I get it. I bet you Paul's probably the same way. He's done. He threw that ball.
No. Because Paul, when they used to play Alzheimer's Day, he would play.
Yeah, but that was a while ago.
Oh, 5 years.
What was the last time he played?
5 years?
All right. Well, that's a long time for a man his day. I bet you he hasn't thrown a ball in a while. He was not going to exert himself or pull something or hurt something. So he gave just enough effort so that he can walk away without a limp. I'm telling you, that's the way a lot of these athletes are.
You know, I've always said this over and over again. And, you know, it happened, you know, that when he came back last year for Alzheimer's Day, they didn't play a game. I don't think Jeter will ever play a game. I don't ever think he'll put on the uniform. He might put on the Yankee top, but he will never put on a full uniform. He just won't. I've always said that from the day he retired. That's not him.
No, because he was done. He played until he was absolutely done. He's got nothing to prove to anybody, and he can never live up to his standard.
You know, what's weird though. People might of a certain age might not remember this. DiMaggio, who you know we all remember coming out in a suit and waving, for many many years after he retired, he did play in those games. He played, he hit, the whole deal. But at one point he said, that's it, I'm done.
That's it. I definitely got that sense from Jeter, that he gave everything there was to give, and that's when he was going to walk away and be done.
And I think in his own way, Posada's like that too.
Mm-hmm. Now, could it be fun, you know, 10, 15 years from now when you're that far removed and there are zero expectations and you actually look different to go out there and play a little bit? That could be fun. But I think he still looks like he played, Michael. I don't see much of a difference in him. Do you?
Paul or Derek?
Derek.
Well, Paul's in better shape than when he played. But Derek's about the same shape, yeah.
Yeah, so if he went out there in a Yankee uniform and the helmet, I think the expectation were that he would have that inside-out swing.
Wasn't it a great moment, though, when Nellie Fox hit the home run in the Cracker Jack Old-Timers game? He was 77 years old.
No, but that's cool. That's what I mean. So, but because there's no expectation. But I think if Derek went out there in a uniform, people would expect what you saw in 2014, the last time he swung. And that would be unfair.
10 years now, too. That's
but wild. If you were, but Peter, 10 years from now, where he's 20 years removed from playing, and he looks a little different, and he looks older, then I think that you can go out there and it would be fun to watch him play.
Well, we're breaking down the Yankees 3-0 loss.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
What happened?
It was in my mind that I want to forget too, because it was a part of my childhood. Was that we lost Pat Zachary today?
Oh, really?
At the age
I didn't
of 71, yes. Howie Rose had tweeted it out, and then Jay Horowitz followed.
What did he pass away from?
I did not hear, but it was interesting because he, of course, came in the Tom Seaver trade. And
with George,
he was a really solid pitcher for a bad Met team. And, of course, when you get traded for Tom Seaver, expectations are going to be high. And, of course, he got pulled from a game and got mad. And, what is he, kicked the stair in the dugout and broke his foot. But as a young kid, he was fun. He was one of my favorite Mets. So I was bothered by that this morning when I saw that he had passed away. So I thought you'd appreciate it as an old baseball fan because he was a good pitcher.
Yeah.
He was probably not appreciated on a bad Met team and, of course, held to a different standard because he was traded for Tom Seaver.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.